Well, we have another surprise for you then. We just keep having the same idea. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you are happy to be here this morning? Amen. Can you smile? Thank you. I really appreciate it. Like I said the last time, it feels terrible when you're standing here and everyone is so serious because you feel that you are against the world. I don't want to feel that way. Well, it's a privilege to be here this morning, and I thank you, Pastor Randy, for letting me preach this time, and hopefully I can do it. let's pray. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we honor your name. Father, we honor who you are. And we know we are gathering this morning because you are the center of our worship. We are not here to look for nothing else, just your presence. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. And we welcome your power, your anointing. And we believe that this morning we will receive from you. Father, we declare that your word takes life and comes to our hearts and changes the way that we think, the way that we're acting. And Father, we declare that the way that we came is not the same way that we're going to live. Because when your power is there, everything has to be changed in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. If you bring your Bible, show it to me. I want to see Bibles. Okay, good. If there's someone beside you that doesn't have a Bible, say, I'm going to have a Christian heart and I'm going to share it with you. And you can read it. But next time, bring your Bible. You know what I feel is very important that as Christians, we know how to use our main weapon, and that's the Bible. So if you have your Bible with you, we are going to read Isaiah chapter 60. And probably many of you have heard this scripture. This is one of the ones that I love the most on the Bible. And when Pastor Randy asked me to preach, this verse came to my heart. And after I heard the news and all the things that has been happening since last Friday, that just confirmed the word that I'm going to share with you this morning. And chapter 60, verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rise upon you. In verse 2, look what it says. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from far, and your daughters are carrying on arms. I'm going to stop there for now. I love this scripture because what I like on verse 3, it says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Now, but if you pay attention in verse number 2, it says, see, darkness covers the air, and thick darkness is over the peoples. There's something that really caused my attention because it says darkness covers the earth. What we just heard last Friday, it's something that it's right here in this scripture right now. Darkness covers the earth. This is not the first time that we have this kind of news. This is not the first time that we hear all these things that are going on around the world. And amaze me how many countries, I was checking yesterday and I was trying to find on the internet how many countries have wars or going through really tough times, like confrontations, even on the nations. I would say almost all nations. I was trying to bring even a map. When I found all the year, almost, is with confrontations, I said, there's no need a map, because everything is a mess. Darkness covers the whole earth. What the Bible means with that? Jesus, when Jesus came, he said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus is light. But when you have absence of the presence of Jesus, darkness is in there. Darkness is controlling the earth. So, when you see what's going on around the world, I'm not impressed to see what's going on. But what really concerns me is where is the light of Jesus in the middle of all this? And when you see this scripture, what it really calls my attention is that says darkness covers the earth, but the second part says thick darkness is over the people. So I will say there are two kinds of darkness. Darkness over nations, but darkness beside the person that is living beside you. There's darkness. And these two kinds of darkness, we are confronting what we saw last Friday is about the darkness on the earth. But there's another one that it's on people's eyes that they don't see. Sometimes we have heard, even the news, for example, on the States, we have heard so many kids that comes to the schools, they take a gun, they start shooting on theaters, everywhere. It's happening. And when you start searching the news, youth people are more involved in violence than never before in the story. What's going on? Everyone, I think, around the world is fighting with darkness. But that's because the devil is controlling, because the light of Jesus is not coming. Let me explain you this. What we saw last Friday, it was under the name of a religion. And I'm going to try to speak right now about that. The darkness that are in religion. They say that they are doing under what they believe is true. And don't worry about what religion it is, because religion spirit will bring always death. That's right. No matter what religion it is. When God is not controlling, when the Holy Spirit, listen to this, when the Holy Spirit is not controlling the Bible that you have right now in your hand, that Bible can kill people. If you see the story on the past, Christians have killed so many people using the Bible. But Jesus said, I came to give life, to share life. But when you use the Bible and you use it with the purpose of destroying other people, you are not under the control of the Holy Spirit, but under the control of the world. And that means darkness is controlling where you are. We could be in a country that we probably won't see what's going on right now in the Middle East. Maybe not. But we are killing each other or killing other people and other Christians with the Word of God. And it's no difference. There's no difference. If you have your Bible there with you, we can read another scripture that I want to share. John chapter 8. And maybe you know this part of the Bible. I love this story. Chapter 8. It says that he was going to Jerusalem. And verse 3 says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and say to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? They were using the question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Can you imagine? Jesus is there teaching, and suddenly they brought a woman. And according to what you're reading here, she was not a really nice woman. Poor guy, the husband. I was thinking, where was the husband at this right moment? No idea. But they say, the law commands us to stone this woman. And when you read the law, it amazed me because I have a son. He's right there. And I love him with all my heart. But according to the law, if he was disobedient to me, I could bring in a Sunday morning and say, you know, my son, he has not obeyed me. He is not doing his responsibility. He's a drunk guy. He's always drinking. And the Bible says, according to the law, okay, I'm going to be honest with you now. But according to the law, I could bring it to the congregation and everyone can take a stone and stone him. That was according to the law. But let me tell you, the law was not the heart of God. That's right. The law was the only way to show us that we don't have God death is part of to be on darkness. And what I like is Jesus is in this place teaching, and suddenly they brought this woman and say, hey, this woman was caught in adultery. What do you want us to do? But you know what? I like what Jesus did. He never said, okay, guys, okay, wait a minute. Okay, why don't we give her another chance? What, can we try one more day? Please be fair. Don't be like that. Try to be nice with her. Jesus never said that. What did he do? You know, the power of law was right in front of him. And he never said, let's put the law away for a moment. Why don't we try another thing? The people are standing here. The lady is behind. And Jesus is in the middle. What did he do? He went to the ground and started writing. In other words, he was allowing the law coming straight to her. But suddenly he turns to everyone and said, you are free of sin. You can throw the first stone. He never said, let's give her another chance. At that moment, he allows death to come right in front of the lady, and he was moving away. But if you pay attention, in that words, he was saying something more powerful. Because the Bible says that they were probably with the rocks, and they felt guilty because of this. And instead of throwing the rocks, you know what? Death came to their lives, and they felt how that they were trying to throw was coming back to them. And you know what? Let's imagine for a moment. Who was in that place in that moment who was able to throw the rocks? Who was the only person, I will say, allowed to do it? Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus saying, oh, you're not throwing the rocks? Let me try it because I can do it. And then taking the stones and start throwing all the rocks. Now, let me tell you, after he's done this, is anyone who was saying, that's not fair? Jesus was able to do it, but he was standing on top of death, of darkness, and he shows how you can stop darkness and death when you're standing because the love of God is flowing through you, and instead of applying the law, you change the law because inside of you, there's only one thing, life. Life, light comes in you. And because of that, people, instead of receiving condemnation, they receive the glory of God. Let me tell you this. If we know that somebody here is going through sin, and many of us hide our sins because we feel the power of condemnation. Even you come and you don't feel like worshiping God because as soon as you raise your hand, you say, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of God. And if you share that with a Christian, you are afraid because you think they're going to condemn me. They're going to reject me. But you know what? When you know Jesus, you don't have that power inside of you. Instead of that, you cover them. You protect them. And you know what? Religion right now, today, in our society, no matter what's your background, no matter what is your religion, but many of us are destroying others using the Bible or any other book because you feel that you have the power to destroy. But when you know the light of God, when you know God is ruling in your heart, there's no way that you condemn others. You share the love of God because God loves your heart and you feel that light. And no matter how big the sins are, you can come and destroy that power. Wow. In John chapter 4, there's another story about another woman, a Samaritan woman. This woman is talking with Jesus. And Jesus said, bring your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right. Because you are living with a sixth man, and he's not your husband. Now, in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Jesus revealed one of the most amazing things about worship, and he is talking to this woman. And he talks about a real and the true worshipers that God is seeking. Now, Jesus revealed this to a woman that has been living with six men. She's not a Christian. She's not Christian. She's not acting like one. But these verses are the most extraordinary for my life. These verses have changed my life about worshiping God. How do you feel? I'm a pastor, and I will feel terrible if I had to teach to someone that has or has been within six different relationships, and you don't know what's going on in this life. You don't bring the treasures. But Jesus did, because Jesus doesn't see the sin on the people. What is stronger in his heart is the passion for healing others, bringing the light of God to lives. Religion, what we see right now, is people saying, I have the truth, and because I have the truth, I can kill people. That's a problem in our society, that we feel that we are right, and because of that, we can kill others. That's not the way. You're going to destroy darkness in your life, in your relationships, when you start loving others. There's one story that I want to share with you. I was young in Mexico. I was probably 20 years. I was in Bible school. And I remember I was studying on the Bible school, and they sent us to different places. And one of the ministries that we had in that time was going to visit jails. And there was a small town close to my city. It's called Atlixco. We went there. In that time, I was getting in love with my wife. She was crazy for me, so that's why I got married. And we had like a worship team, and we were traveling with this worship team. And we went to this jail, and we prepared like a kind of small concert. I was a piano player, and we went to this jail. But this jail has like a patio, like this, probably this section, all this. And the building that was the jail, it was like four floors. In this level, this part, it was like all around was four floors. And when we were standing on one of the edges of the patio part, all the prisoners were standing here. They were here. And I remember as soon as they saw that we came in, they started laughing, they started making fun. And when they saw that we put the speakers, the drums, the piano, they say, oh, yeah, we're going to have a party. We're going to dance. We're going to have fun. And because in Mexico, we love salsa, all kind of music that is like kind of beat. They were really excited. And we decided to pick some songs that were like kind of funny songs. So as soon as we start, I say, we're going to have some nice music. You're going to enjoy it. But these songs are about God. It's about Jesus. So pay attention to the songs. So we start playing. They never care about what we were singing. They just heard the music and tune, 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 tune. And they start, dun, dun, dun. All of their men, they were dancing, having fun, not paying attention to the lyrics. They were just having fun, dancing. And suddenly, one of the girls that were there was my wife and another girls. And as soon as they saw them, they start saying things to them. And it was a mess. And I thought, Holy Spirit, you need to come and do something here. And I was getting kind of desperate. So we went to the second song. Oh, that was worse. They start moving to the front and dancing, dancing. I remember one of the main guys there was wearing a huge chain here, and he was dancing with it, put his hands like this, and he was dancing. He was huge, really strong guy, probably a little bit bigger than me, but. No, that's not true. They were huge. They were strong. And I was looking at them. They were having fun. And on the windows around, Everyone was cheering and doing so much nice, but not paying attention. And I was getting upset, and I was thinking, what am I doing here? I was going to take probably all the instruments and say, let's move out of here. I'm hating this. I was getting upset. And then we were probably singing like half hour. They were not paying attention. You ask them, probably they even don't remember what we were singing. And part of the problem was that some of the girls came to the front and started singing. And they did. And as soon as they did, they don't care about they were singing. They were saying to them like, oh, beauty, blah, 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 so much stuff. And I was like, what am I doing here? And I remember these scriptures came to my heart. Arise, shine, because the glory of God is upon you. Darkness will cover the earth. And suddenly I say to everyone, okay, let's stop the music. And I stand really kind of upset at the same time. And I came really close and I say, you know what? We came here not just to make you feel fun. We brought the presence of God. And you are really good saying things to us as we are singing, but you are hiding in between all of you. But what I brought you is the light of God. And let me tell you, if I ask you right now to receive Jesus in your heart, and if I ask you to be brave and to come to the front and stand in front of everyone and say, I need Jesus, you're not going to do it. You know why? Because you're not brave. That's what you think. And I was like, because I say, I need to be brave to be here. Because you know what? I don't feel comfortable. This is not my place. I don't belong to here, but I'm here because the light of Jesus is really strong in me, and I came to share that with you. And you know what? I think I'm wasting my time because right now I'm going to take my instruments and all my people, and we're going to leave because we are just wasting time. Because I know none of you will come here if I say receive Jesus. Or is there anyone here? And the guy with the chain.
He started coming to me.
And I was standing there, and I saw the guy. And I thought, this guy is gonna kill me. And I started looking around. All the policemen, what they moved back. They want to move back. And my group was all the way on the back, and I was standing in the middle, and that's the first time I said, Jesus, you need to come right now. This is the good time for the second coming. Please, come, come. And I was, and he came right in front of me, and I was, and he came right here, and I'm, he's looking at me like this, and I'm, he said, and he said, so did you say that we're not brave? I guess. And he said, well, I'm brave enough to say right now that I need Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I say, can you come on your knees? And he came in his knees. And he said, and he started crying. He said, I need Jesus. And I said, because of you, many of these people, they're going to be changed today. And as soon as I say that, people, all these guys start coming. Start coming. All the prisoners with tattoos, with really bad shapes, you can see them. And I say, if you want to receive Jesus, come on your knees and kneel down and say, Jesus, I need you. What really impressed me, it was like 500 men standing there. After I said that, all 500, I can tell you, my wife is here, she saw that. Everyone was kneeling. And I say, guys, raise your hands to heaven. And I say to one of the guys, start playing something, play something. But you know what? The environment, the place that we were standing, it was completely changed. Why? Because when you bring the light of God, there's no darkness. There's no power that can stand against the power of God. There's no power. There's no power. My concern is not what's happening right now in France. You know what's my concern? That we are not bringing the life enough in Cloverdale, in Vancouver, in British Columbia, in Canada, that this darkness start moving here, because they're going to move to here. But you know what? The power, God even wants to bring darkness to here, not because he wants that darkness to move, it's because he's saying, arise, shine. Arise, shine. This is the time that instead of be sitting and saying, oh, look at this, look at that, because the devil wants to make you feel fear. But Jesus said, no, you have light. You need to bring the light out of you. And because you have the light, all around your world is going to start changing. I'm going to share with you another story. I was pastoring the Spanish church one night. After Sunday morning, it was 3 in the morning, I was on my bed sleeping. And at 3 in the morning, my phone rang. And it was one of the members of the church. It was a lady. And she was crying when she phones. And as soon as I answered, I was really tired that day. And I remember she was crying and she said, Pastor, Pastor, can you come to my home right now? And I said, what's going on? And she said, you know what? My husband had a baseball bat in his hand. My son has a knife, and they are in the kitchen, and they are trying to kill each other. And I was like, oh, is that happening right now? Yes! It was 3 in the morning. And I was going to tell her, can we leave it that for tomorrow? Because I'm so tired. I was going to say that, but she was crying, and I heard on the back, I heard the voices of these guys fighting each other, and I told her, okay, I'm going there. And I was driving there, and I started praying and saying, Lord, protect them, help them, blah, blah, blah. I was praying and praying and praying, but suddenly I felt like my prayer was not going anywhere. And as soon as I got there, I knocked at the door, and I heard the guys shouting to each other. And I heard how they were throwing things. And I was like, God, you had to protect me. I want to live for my kids and my wife. And I was kind of afraid to get in. And suddenly I heard how the lady came and ran to the door. She opened the door. Please, Pastor, come in, come in. And that was a very faithful woman to the church, and I remember she just took me to the kitchen. She just pushed me in the kitchen, and she ran away to her bedroom. And I was like, ah! And as soon as I got there, on one they had like an island in the middle, and one guy is on the son is with a knife, and the husband is with a baseball bat, and they say, okay, you wanna do something? Okay, try it. And they were there, and I'm here on the middle, and they look at me, and I was like, okay, I'm not part of the problem, okay? I'm not trying to do nothing here. But suddenly, you know what? I felt really strong in my heart to start worshiping God. Instead of praying, instead of rebuking. This is the first time in my life that I realized, listen, that my presence, not because of Beth Mendoza, no. Because the Holy Spirit lives on me. He wants to move through me. So one guy is standing here. The other one is here. And then because I love to worship God in Spanish, I start singing. And I start saying, tu fidelidad es grande. I was singing about the fidelity of God, that he is merciful. And I start singing, tu fidelidad incomparable es. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios. Grande es tu fidelidad. And they were like, and I kept singing. And I walk around again. Tu fidelidad es grande. As they were breathing, I can hear how the breathing was changing. Tu fidelidad, they were starting to relax a little bit. Incomparables. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios. Grande es tu fidelidad. And then I saw how this man started to bring the bat down. And I took the bath and I say, tu fidelidad es grande. And I took the knife. Tu fidelidad incomparable es. Listen, I'm taking Satan weapons. And I'm taking that surrendered to God. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios. Grande es tu fidelidad. And as I'm singing, I saw that dad start like crying. And I say to him in front of him, I throw these things and I say, tu fidelidad es grande. I was singing to God, but in my heart, I'm changing. I'm removing all darkness. And he started crying. Tu fidelidad. I took him from the hands and I bring him to the sun. And I put it in front and I kept singing, incomparable es nadie como tú. And they start looking at each other. Bendito Dios, grande es tu fidelidad. And I pushed the guy. Tu fidelidad es grande. And they hug each other. Tu fidelidad. And I hear, son, I love you. Tu incomparable es. And he says, dad, forgive me. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios. Grande es tu fidelidad. Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparable es. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios. Next Sunday, dad and son singing right in front of the church, worshiping each other, worshiping to God. I mean, I always pray and pray and pray. And God told me, you talk too much. You are in my way. Let me move through you. Just arise. That's it. Good word. Just shine. Give it to God. Give it to God. As a painter, I can tell you, I deal with so many families, so many problems. I have seen so many things in different houses. But I understand something. I don't need to preach. I don't need to teach. My presence will change the environment everywhere that I go because my spirit is connected with the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God lives with me, life will flow everywhere I go. And this is the word that God gave me for you today. It's not about how much you pray. It's about how much you let the light of God flow through you. That simple. When I'm at home, by myself, I pray to God. I ask him for things. I spend time with him. I love praying. But when I'm up here, I had to shine. That's it. Nothing else. Very good. And I want to pray right now to finish. But this is the thing. I want you to learn how to flow with the Holy Spirit, letting light coming out of you. When you start speaking about blessings. Blessing. The blessings of God flowing through you. Because the power is already on you. Don't ask. Just let it flow. I like to use my mouth to pray. But I have 2 years. I always thought that I was a prophet because I always have a word for everyone. God gave me words for everyone. And I remember I stopped just receiving the power of God. I don't know how I felt that something God stuck on me. That I didn't flow that as much as I want. And I asked once to God, why this is happening? And he told me, because you talk too much. I just revealed you that you understand. But you talk too much. And what I did, instead of praying for people, I learned something that I have learned and I have been practicing this for years now, 2 years now. And it's when I pray for people, sometimes I just put my hands and let the flow of the Holy Spirit flow through my hands, not through my mouth. And when you see how God flows through your hands, believe me, I have learned that I don't need to speak English or Spanish. I need to understand the language of the Spirit. And when he flows through me, languages are not the problem. I'm going to show you now how flows the Holy Spirit with no need of language. We can change right now. The darkness of these years, of this city, will start moving away when you are at your work, if you are at school, or you are at home, how you let the Holy Spirit flow through you, because you are open to Him, because life flows through you. Stop the spirit of condemnation, first to you, and secondly to the people around you. Stop saying, oh yeah, they are receiving this because they deserve it, because they did this, and that. This is the time that you say, yeah, they have to receive the punishment, but because I'm here, they receive life instead.
Hallelujah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. We're going to pray in a moment. And I'm going to ask you later to just close your eyes. This is what I need to tell you right now. The Holy Spirit, during these days before I came today to preach, the Holy Spirit told me this. So many of us that we are sitting here right now, we haven't seen the power because we haven't even paid attention about the power that is already in you, that lives within you. And He wants to show you already the power that is within you. And you see that, He will flow with that. You might say, well, it's like a little light. It's like a small candle. God can do miracles with a candle. And God loves you so much. And He wants you to bring life through what you already have. And today we're going to do something different. And I want you first to pay attention to yourself. But after that, maybe you are sitting beside someone that you love. Probably it's your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, whatever. But later I'm going to ask you to just lay your hands and declare life. Sometimes our kids are not going good to school. And we say, oh, why you are so dumb? That's no life. That's no life. I always say this. When you receive your payment from your work and you see your payment and you see like $1,000, you see the $1,000 and you say, this is nothing. Not even for paying the rent. And you know what? You're not even able to pay the rent. But when you see $1,000 and you say, Lord, this is nothing, but in your hands, you're going to do miracles. But it's about giving life to whatever. Some of you feel that you financially are not going good. You know why? Because every time that you have money, you're always thinking, this is not enough. And sometimes you say it, even to your family. Family, this week, this month, we are tied. We don't have money. Yeah, you don't have money, but you have the bless of God. And because you have the bless of God, you can say, family, see this amount? It's almost nothing. But this week, we're going to see miracles. See my health? Do you see how I feel? Pastor, I'm not going to church because I don't feel good. You should call and say, Pastor, I don't feel good, but even though I don't feel good, I'm going. Because this morning, I'm going to see the power of God that flows through me, because there's life in me, and it has to flow out of me. See it? Pastor, my relationship is not going good with my wife. But even if it's not going good, I declare that God is going to restore everything. Let me tell you, God wants to change France. But it's going to start with us here. Because there are darkness in our eyes. But God wants to remove these darkness in order to touch other nations. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes. With your eyes closed, I felt this week how the Holy Spirit wants to move in so many of us already. But I need you to declare life. Some of you are dealing with sickness. And let me tell you, you have been saying, the Lord is not doing nothing. No, he's not doing it because he's expecting you that you rebuke that. Where is God in the middle of this? And God is saying, where are you in the middle of this? Some of you have been asking to God to change something about our relationship in your family. Probably you have been praying for your son, for your daughter, that they're not doing good. But instead of asking God to change things, I want to ask you today to declare. And I want to ask you, to whatever it is not working good in your life, how can you change it with your declaration? God wants to prove that he is alive today. But he's saying, arise, arise, shine, shine. And that's the very first thing that I want to ask you. If there's something in your life that you need to declare life, something that is dying, or probably even your faith, you have been like, yes, I'm Christian, but I don't know, I don't feel that fire anymore. Holy Spirit is saying, arise, arise. And if there's something that you need to declare life, no matter what it is, but if it is dying on you, it's because the devil is using that to destroy you. Darkness, they are trying to cover you. But let me ask you, arise. And the way that we're going to do it, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. And that's not to make you feel ashamed of that. Because this is the time of victory. That's why I'm asking you to stand up. And the scripture says, because your light has come upon you. Just close your eyes and raise your hands for a moment. And I want you to see with your eyes closed how the light is coming upon you. The light is upon you. Now that light is waiting that you declare, that you say what you need to receive. Now I don't need you to say it loud. If you want to do it, if you want to say it loud, do it. But I want you to move your lips at least, and that you can start declaring life in the things that are dying on you. Start to declare it. Nobody needs to hear you. But feel how that light is coming upon you. And it's getting brighter and brighter. Receive. Receive. Light of God, come upon you. The light of God is coming upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you don't need to fight for that. Just declare it and start lighting. Now, I want to ask you to see yourself in your regular world during week, at home, at work, at school, and see how the circumstances are start changing. See them and declare, yeah, what I see right now is what is going to happen. No matter how long it's going to take, but I will see it. Family, let me tell you, sickness are running away right now. Darkness is moving away from this place. Darkness, they had to flow far away from you. Not anymore moving through your life. Even in your family, people will say, no, you're not right. Don't pay attention to what people are saying. Darkness are moving away because your light has to be brighter and brighter. And as much brighter it is, the darkness will just flee. Why? Because the power of God is moving in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for your power that moves upon us. Now, there are two things that we're going to do. You can bring your hands down if you want. But if there's somebody that you love beside you, that you know that they need this light, just hug them. And just say, light of God, come upon my wife, my kids, whoever it is. If it is your husband or wife, just hug each other. And there are two lights here, husband and wife. Just let that light flow stronger and stronger and stronger. There is so much power in this place. No condemnation. If you need forgiveness, just give forgiveness. If you need encouragement, just share that. Give encouragement to others. In Jesus' name. Now, I feel that there's something else that I want to do. Some of you have been dealing probably with darkness. You're tired of fighting with something in your life. I would love to pray for you. We're going to probably sing a worship song. But as I would like to pray for some of you that want to feel that release. And I feel really strong. There's a power of darkness that it has been trying to establish in our city. And in order to break that, it has to start within us. We need to break the darkness out there. But before we do it out there in our world every day, we have to do it right now here. And I would like to pray for some of you that feel that. And I'm going to ask you to come forward. And we're going to lay hands on you. And I feel there's something very special that Holy Spirit will break today. And if we pray together as one, we will see how the power of God will move in our city. This is the time we need to be a real church. A real church is like a team that work together, that we fight for each other. I'm standing here not because I'm better than you. Just the anointing that is flowing right now. But let me tell you, the power that is in me is within you. It's in Pastor Randy. It's in all of us. We just need to connect each other and flow together. That's all we need. So I don't know if we can sing a song, but I'm going to ask you, everyone, to close your eyes. And if you feel that you want to come forward, we're going to have people that are going to help us to pray. But could you come?
Oh, bless the Lord. Good stuff happening. Freedom and light. So good. Jesus, thanks for each one. Thank you for bringing us a blessing from Australia, Lord, and thank you for bringing us a blessing from Mexico, Lord Jesus. We so appreciate Pastor Obed and his ability to bring your word, your life, your light to us. Oh, bless him and bless each one, Lord, as we go from here. Allow us, oh God, to take your light to every area we walk in. And let us see changes everywhere we go. Bless each one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Bless you.